Well, good morning, everybody. And thank you for being here to share the Dharma today and to practice together. And welcome to our youngest auditors. Start them early. You know. Today is Zazen Kai, our one-day Sesshin. We take all or part of this day to engage in our fundamental core practice of Zazen. Lacking that, nothing that we say or do in this temple has any meaning whatever. It just descends into philosophical stuff and games of logic that will have no effect on our lives. As some of you know, three of the Taisho at the last October Sesshin were devoted to the teachings of Master Zhao Zhou, specifically with regard to the verse, "The ultimate way is not difficult, just avoid picking and choosing." This was a favorite saying of Zhao Zhou's. It's the first line in Affirming Faith and Mind, the very long verse attributed to the third Chinese ancestor, Sung San, which we chant at almost every Sesshin. There are four cases in the Biyan Lu, the Blue Cliff Record, which involve Zhao Zhou in this line. In each case, a monk challenges the master with respect to it. The cases we worked on in Sesshin were numbers 57, 58, and 59. So today, we'll round it out and take a look at case number 2 in the Blue Cliff Record, Zhao Zhou's The Ultimate Way. The case reads, Zhao Zhou addressed his assembly and said, "The ultimate way is not difficult. Just avoid picking and choosing. With even a few words, there will be picking and choosing, or there will be clarity. This old monk does not dwell in clarity. Can you value this without reservation?" A monk stepped forward and said, "If you do not dwell in clarity, how can you value it without reservation?" Zhao Zhou said, "I don't know that either." The monk said, "If your reverence does not know, how can you say that you do not dwell in clarity?" Zhao Zhou said, "Your questions are well asked. Make your bows and retire." And then, as with all of the cases in the Blue Cliff Record, Shuido, the compiler, adds a verse. "The ultimate is not difficult. The speech is direct. The words are to the point. In one, there are many kinds. In two, there is no duality. On the horizon of the sky, the sun rises and the moon sets. Beyond the balustrade, the mountains deepen. The waters grow chill. When the skull's consciousness is exhausted, how can joy remain? In a dead tree, the dragon murmurs are not yet exhausted. Difficult, difficult. Picking and choosing, clarity, see for yourself." The ultimate way is not difficult. Just avoid picking and choosing. If we truly understood that one sentence, our study of Zen would be complete. Pat Hawk, the late beloved teacher and successor of Robert Aiken, enlightenment is total acceptance of everything. No picking, no choosing. And yet, 90% or more of our thoughts are picking and choosing. I like this, I don't like that. This is good, this is bad. We can't turn off our thoughts. It is the nature of the mind to produce thoughts, as it is the nature of a tree to produce leaves. But we can learn to see clearly the true nature of thoughts, that they have no substance, that there is nothing behind them. Zhao Zhou warns us with even a few words, there will be picking and choosing, or there will be clarity. Yes, that opening line of Sung Tsang, like any set of words, is a double-edged sword. If one practices it, lives it, it becomes a profound truth. But if one just noodles around with it intellectually, it is a trap and may become a coffin. Words are not bad in themselves. It's up to us how we use them, how we receive them. Sung Tsang's words can point us to the truth, to the great reality. Or we can go round and round with them like a rat on an exercise wheel. This case is very much about how we use words. We don't need to avoid picking and choosing. We just need to realize clearly that picking and choosing is just more illusion. There never was any picking and choosing. But in our deluded state, we really have no choice but to pick and to choose. To simply wait around, sit around and wait for things to happen, is abdicating our responsibility. Choosing not to choose is still a choice. We have to make decisions. We have to pick and choose. But Sung Tsang's next verse reads, "To choose without preference is to be clear." Yes. If we can choose without attaching, make our choices as best we can, and then accept whatever happens with no regrets, no hindsight. As the coach said, it's not about what if, it's about what now. And again, Zhao Zhou asks, can you value this without reservation? Value it without reservation. What is it to value this line? The ultimate way is not difficult. Just avoid picking and choosing. It is nothing else but to accept the great reality of now, to live in the reality of here and now. How do you do that? Throw yourself completely into the practice. No holds barred. 100% combustion. And the only way you can do that is to abandon picking and choosing. Today in Zazenkai, and tomorrow in your life. Zhao Zhou says, this old monk does not dwell in clarity. He does not dwell in clarity, i.e. enlightenment. Where does he dwell then? Does Zhao Zhou dwell anywhere? If you say he dwells in enlightenment, 30 blows. If you say he dwells in the delusive form, the delusive world of form, 30 blows. If you say both in delusion and enlightenment, or neither in delusion nor enlightenment, 60 blows. Where will you find Zhao Zhou? For a long time after an initial awakening experience, we bounce back and forth between what we call delusion and enlightenment. We are bedeviled by what might be called in psychobabble cognitive dissonance. We have seen. We remember that everything is one, that you and I, the moon, the stars, and the great wide earth are in no way separate. And yet, we find ourselves still the slaves of habit forces that never seem to go away. We get angry at things. We get bored and irritated talking to someone we don't like. We snap at somebody over the phone. Or we just veg out in front of the TV. But at some point, years or lifetimes away perhaps, delusion and enlightenment disappear. That is when you truly value the great reality without reservation. That is when you live the great reality without reservation. How can you not? You are the great reality. You dwell nowhere. A monk steps forward and says, "If you do not dwell in clarity, how can you value it without reservation?" This patch-robed monk puts a question. Is he sincere, wanting to know, or is he just trying to make trouble? Is Zhao Zhou really attached to an idea of clarity, of enlightenment? Is he attached to an idea of no clarity, no enlightenment? My question would be, if you dwell anywhere, how can you value it or even see it clearly? To dwell anywhere is a trap. If we get caught up in notions of delusion here, enlightenment there, confusion now, clarity later, we are going round and round on the endless wheel. This business of dwelling is most sternly addressed by Master Wu Men in an afterword to the Wu Men Guan entitled Zen Warnings. He writes, "To observe the regulations and keep to the rules is tying oneself without a rope. To act freely and unrestrainedly just as one wishes is to do what heretics and demons would do. To recognize mind and purify it is the false Zen of silent sitting. To give rein to oneself and ignore interrelating conditions is to fall into the abyss. To be alert and never ambiguous is to wear chains and an iron yoke. To think of good and evil belongs to heaven and hell. To have a Buddha view and a Dharma view is to be confined in two iron mountains. He who realizes it as soon as a thought arises is one who exhausts his energy. To sit blankly in quietism is the practice of the dead. If one proceeds, he will go astray from the principle. If one retreats, he will be against the truth. If one neither progresses nor retreats, he is a dead man breathing. Now tell me, what will you do?" Not a whole lot of wiggle room there. No, do not dwell in clarity, in silence, in alertness, good, evil, heaven, hell, realization, ignorance, enlightenment, or anything. And certainly not in any notion of a separate self that can dwell anywhere. A separate self, by its very nature, dwells somewhere. If you do not dwell in clarity, how can you value it without reservation? How would you answer that monk's question? Zhao Zhou says, "I don't know either." He doesn't know. He commiserates with the monk. "You don't know? I don't know?" The Buddha himself doesn't know and never will. The Emperor of China asked Bodhidharma, "Who is it that stands before me?" And Bodhidharma replied, "I don't know." Anything to do with knowing in the usual sense brings us back to picking and choosing. It is only from not knowing that we can experience the great reality. Knowing is a dwelling place, just another barrier. The monk said, "If your reverence does not know, how can you say that you do not dwell in clarity?" Okay, here's where he blows it. How easily a Dharma exchange degenerates into discussion, fine points of logic. I said at the beginning that without a solid foundation in Zazen practice, our understanding degenerates into philosophy. Time and again, in thinking about arguments I could make about some political or environmental issue, which is a bad habit in itself, I'll say this, the other person will say that, and then I'll say, and then he'll say, and it goes on forever. And it actually happens that way. There can be very good logic on all sides of an issue, and yet the antagonists go off in wildly different directions. Logic is not the truth. It doesn't even point to the truth. It will rather lead you off into truly strange places. Logic is entirely dependent on the underlying assumptions. It is a great tool, but it can be horribly misused. If the underlying assumption is that everyone is out for themselves and power is the pinnacle of human life and the only security, then the logic of Machiavelli's The Prince is entirely valid, and Stalin wasn't crazy. If one assumes that the universe is ruled by angry, demanding gods and demons, then human sacrifice is a perfectly rational act. The Aztecs were not illogical. On the other hand, if the underlying assumption is that from the very beginning, all beings are fundamentally enlightened, whole and complete, lacking nothing, well, you get the idea. If there is a clear seeing of the essential reality of things that arises out of practice, then logic can be a useful tool. But if logic is based in delusion, it will only lead to more delusion. In his second question, the monk has lost his base in practice. If he keeps on chopping logic, he will get nowhere. Or even worse, he will get somewhere. And Zhao Zhou does not let him continue. Zhao Zhou said, "Your questions are well asked. Make your bows and retire." In other words, sit down and shut up. For Shui Do's verse, I'm just going to read it line by line and make comments. The ultimate path is not difficult. Comment. And yet, so few realize it. The speech is direct. The words are to the point. Comment. They both missed it. How can they not? In one, there are many kinds. In two, there is no duality. Comment. One, whole and complete. Two, whole and complete. A million, whole and complete. On the horizon of the sky, the sun rises and the moon sets. Comment. How wonderful. Why search elsewhere? Beyond the balustrade, the mountains deepen, the waters grow chill. Comment. Show me this place beyond the balustrade. When the skull's consciousness is exhausted, how can joy remain? Comment. How can anything remain? In a dead tree, the dragon murmurs are not yet exhausted. Comment. The murmurs will go on forever. Difficult, difficult. Compared to what? Where is difficulty or ease? Picking and choosing, clarity, see for yourself. Comment. Delusion, enlightenment, pah! It's none of your business. Together with all beings, we realize the way.